Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Ah, yes, it's just about 7 minutes after six in sweet Trinidad and Tobago. You are now locked into Offside, which we do every Monday from 6 to 7.30 p.m. It's Carrie Vina Company alongside Terry Fenwick and Adrian Romine. Fellas, we are here.
Carrie, hold the line.
Yep. Sweet.
Good afternoon, everyone. Exciting times.
I know, right?
Yeah, some terrific football over the course of the weekend, and that's not just abroad, but that's right here in Trinidad and Tobago.
And a lot of drama in the youth, the opening of the Republic Cup. It was drama, drama, drama. Nevertheless,
what?
Yeah, lot of drama.
Well, we are here today because I know we're going to be discussing drama, because you see King of Bacchanal and drama, you understand? And I have a very good team song for you, but
thank
I ain't started
you.
Yet. But I know we have a lot going on right now in the football industry. I know the TNT Pro League is on now. I know we have international games. So what are we going to start discussing this evening,
well,
guys?
Well, I think, first of all, Kerry, we'll start with the Premier League.
Yeah.
We'll go through a few results over the course of, and it really has been a crazy Premier League because of the results that we're seeing. And the top of that list has got to be Liverpool. My God, after beating Manchester United 7-0 last week, they got beat this weekend 1-0 against Bournemouth. So I think we should touch on that one, Adrian. But some of the results over the course of last weekend, you've got Bournemouth, Liverpool, Leeds 2, Brighton 2. You've got Everton, good result for Everton against Brentford, 1-0 at home. Leicester got beat again, 3-1 at home against Chelsea. Chelsea on the rise again. Spurs got a good result, 3-1 at home to Nottingham Forest, something that I think we expected. Manchester City on the road at Crystal Palace, get a 1-0 win that keeps their keeps them going for the top of the league with Arsenal. Manchester United again, poor result from them, 0-0 at home to bottom of the table Southampton. West Ham, who were having a real struggle, 1-1 at home against Aston Villa. Fulham 0, Arsenal 3. My God, this Arsenal, very young top team, are doing great things, and that was 3-0 at half time. Newcastle back on to winning ways with a 2-1 win at home against Wolves. So there are some real interesting results there, Adrian. But what sticks out to me here is, and this is on the back of World Cup, you've got these top players coming back into the Premier League. You've got wonderful brands like your Manchester United, Liverpool, your Chelsea, Arsenals, Man City's. But there's, apart from Arsenal and Manchester City, there's very little consistency across the board there. And how I would relate this is, if you're looking at Bundesliga, if you're looking at La Liga, the Italian league, Serie A, the French league, if you're top of the league there and you're playing teams that are in the bottom three or four, you automatically win these games. In the Premier League, Kerry, what you've got is, you've got such crazy fans turn up to watch their team, and if they're playing against somebody that's at the top of the league, they will shout and scream and do whatever they can to get a good result for their side.
Yeah, well, yeah.
And, my God, you get Bournemouth winning, Bournemouth right down the bottom of the table there of the Premier League, winning 1-0 at home against Liverpool, who've just come off the back of a 7-0 thrashing of Manchester United. Adrian, what the hell's going on here?
Terry, honestly, I like how you touch on that, but Liverpool really and truly failed us this weekend.
Yeah.
After being the top performer last week, beating Manchester United 7-0.
Yeah.
Last, just against Bournemouth, who's 18th in the table, you lose 1-0, that is irresponsible.
Yeah. I mean, I look at this Liverpool side, when you run through this team, they're all superstars.
Yeah.
And they're all recognising that they've been to Champions League final. Yes, they got beat against Real Madrid, but they're going to be thereabouts again. This is a top side. And is it just that the players are not performing? Is it the new people that Klopp has brought in? He's brought some terrific stars from across Europe into this Liverpool squad, but it just doesn't seem like they can gel at the same time.
Correct.
They're so indifferent, their results, crazy.
Yeah, and to me, the reality of the English Premier League, Terry, and we mentioned it last week, is that on any given day, you can be upset. There can be an upset, and that is exactly what's happening. We are seeing Chelsea finding themselves bit by bit. We Tottenham Hotspur, Everton as well. Yeah. But Bournemouth, 1-0, that is a team that is 18th in the table.
Yeah.
And now is the time where Klopp needs to find that consistency within his squad. Right, the right results for Liverpool now is means more than any other team in the Premier League. As much as Arsenal is already 5 points clear, we want to see Liverpool in the next Champions League next year.
I think so. I mean, listen, Liverpool, fantastic side, fantastic club, Adrian. When you go to Anfield and you're playing at Anfield and you walk down that tunnel, I was always one of them players playing away from home. I'd always reach up and touch, this is Anfield. That's on the way out to the actual field itself. Mm. And when you get out there and you're coming out of the tunnel, Carrie, the atmosphere almost blows you over.
Yeah.
And unless you, if you've gone there for the first time, it can knock the wind out of you, knock the confidence out of you. And Liverpool fans, they sing, "You'll Never Walk Alone." They, you know, right across the world, everybody knows that.
Mm.
And they relate that to Liverpool Football Club. And Klopp has done a wonderful job over, is it 5 or 7 years he's been there now? And he's brought together same style of football, same back four, same midfield three, same front three, same principles of player, your two wingers, Salah on one side, Mane used to play on the other side, whoever's replaces him, and their runs are from out to in to score goals. Firmino dropping into them pockets of space to link up the play in midfield. Nothing's really changed about his tactics.
Mm.
Just the personnel that are carrying this out.
But Terry, I think Mane was a big loss.
Big loss, yeah.
I saw Mane in summer, Bayern Munich versus DC United.
Yeah.
And I was wondering why Liverpool released, allowed this young man to leave Anfield.
Yeah.
He was the link within the attack, and even at times he was defensively sound.
Yeah.
And if you watch at sometimes his GPS reading, you will know that he's one of the hardest workers. So for me, to fill that gap, you needed someone that is way better than Mane, someone that is aware of the philosophy of Klopp.
Mm-hmm.
But now they are struggling. There's no consistency against Bournemouth. Yeah, kudos goes to Bournemouth. They would have been leading 1-0, but with a Mane linking up with Salah and Firmino, I am telling you, this game would have ended 3 or 4-1.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, listen, they're all great players. They're great on the ball, their passing ability, their dribbling, all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But what I loved about Klopp's side, this Liverpool side, was when they gave the ball away, Kerry, every man, Jack, even the crowd, are fighting to get the ball back from the opposition. Their team spirit was unbelievable. And whether it's because he's brought some young stars in from across Europe, that seems to have been dented. Mane, of course, has been a big miss. And sometimes, what's the saying? You don't realise until it's gone how you're going to miss this. And certainly they've missed Sadio Mane. I think was a great player for them. Recognising at the time as well, when his contract was coming up, they were also fighting to hang on to Mo Salah. He was another one that was in negotiations with the club. Did they put pitch just for one, or should they have stayed with the two that they had? That made sense. The results at the moment, inconsistent. I mean, my God, they've also got coming up this Wednesday, they 2-0 up at home against Real Madrid. Get beat 5-2, Kerry.
5
in the Champions League, yes.
Wow.
So they've got that coming up at the Bernabeu Stadium in Madrid, Spain, on Wednesday. Adrian, can they pull a 3-goal net deficit back or not?
Terry, I think that they have been so inconsistent. I will not even I will not even put my
Adrian,
money where my mouth is.
Adrian,
I,
don't
honestly,
be like that.
No, I'm being frank.
Yeah.
If Liverpool shows up to the party like they did
a week ago, two weeks ago against Manchester United, they can destroy Real Madrid.
Anything's possible. Yeah.
But if they do not, and you get that dismal performance that they showed on Saturday, trust me, Real Madrid will embarrass them. Real Madrid is the, one of the world's best clubs.
Yeah.
This is their tournament. Carlo Ancelotti plays for these Champions League. He's a tactician when comes to coaching Champions League. So I think if they do not show up to the party, they will be embarrassed.
Yeah, for me, Adrian, you've hit the nail on the head there. For me, the difference in this whole fixture, I think, is Ancelotti.
Correct.
People don't recognise the work that goes in behind the scenes, how he pulls his team together. This is his second stint at Real Madrid. Recognising in between that, he went to Everton, he's had his little run around. Listen, this guy gets results. Mm. And it doesn't matter who they're playing. The Liverpool-Real Madrid Champions League final, Kerry, was a game that everyone expected Liverpool to win.
Mm.
And to be fair, I thought they dominated the game. They had the most chances. But Carlo Ancelotti kept his team strictly organised. This is what our game plan is. This is what we're going to do. And it worked to a treat. Mm. And they picked holes in the Liverpool defence, in particular Alexander-Arnold, right back. And they won the game 1-0.
Yeah.
Terry, but Ancelotti's 63 years of age.
63?
63
That's
years
a good
of age.
Age.
Right? Praise God for that. And he's still appreciated around the world.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
And the reality is he keeps himself in the game and he's winning titles. He's not just sitting back and saying, okay, I'm 63 years old.
Yeah.
It's my time to basically close up shop. Final season. He's going after every single trophy every time he goes at a new club. And this, as you said, this is a second stint with Real Madrid. And I expect him to do well.
Yeah. Well, he's, you know, long in the tooth, as you say, loads of experience, and he's a winner.
I'm getting a message here from on WhatsApp. And guys, don't forget you can get in touch with us. You can even give us a call, 627-322-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. This is Offside with Terry Fenwick and Adrian Romaine. Another factor, guys, good evening, going out to you to consider: sides in a relegation fight. You can go in there like the points are destined. Bournemouth played the right strategy on the day. I scored early and I held it down.
Bournemouth.
Right. Thank you. That's to clean that up. So, I mean, this person actually sat down and looked at the game. Because, I mean, it have some persons like myself who just watch the game to know, hey, one goal scoring here, but another is scoring there. Yeah. Yeah. But there are persons who really sit down and look at the strategies that the coaches...
Of course, you can't ignore that. You see, this is my whole point. When you've got Arsenal at the top of the league playing bottom of the table Southampton... Southampton are putting a plan together to make the game as miserable as possible to get something out of it.
Yeah.
So they're upsetting the opposition. They'll have players marking the best players from the opposition. They will play a different way. A lot of these sides, even at home, might not play with a centre forward. They might play with two banks of five, keeping it very tight, keeping the distances tight, so they're not allowing the opposition that are better than them have any space in the field of play. And then trying to grind out a result, Adrian. This is the whole Premier League. It's so difficult to get into it. Once you're in there, you've got to fight tooth and nail to stay in there. I mean, what I would bring to your attention, and this is what we've brought up over the last two or three shows. You know, seventh position Brighton, eighth position Fulham, Brentford in ninth position in the Premier League. Now, they are gradually going down the league, these three teams. Now, we didn't expect them to be up in fifth, sixth or seventh position, but they literally are moving down the table. Chelsea are getting stronger. Liverpool have come stronger. Newcastle have had one or two wavering results. They've dropped out of the top three. This whole Premier League is... And I'll come back to the World Cup. I think that's got a big point to play in this. I think it's been so unpredictable, probably more than any of the Premier League season.
Yeah, Terry, with 11 games left, And to be honest, I like that contribution by the WhatsApp listener.
Yeah.
Because something that we need to give credit where credit is due is that Bournemouth actually kept a clean sheet.
Yeah.
And they kept a clean sheet against a team that scored 7 goals a week before.
Against Manchester United.
So I am in... He's bringing that, and as much as we are reading it, we must thank him for that, because the reality is that Liverpool was really and truly sleeping, and talking about the World Cup party, we need to touch on it, because I am hearing you saying it week in, week out. This is where a lot of the teams is starting to show fatigue, and some is maybe realizing that, okay, some coaches is happy at what they are getting from their players.
Yeah.
They are getting the philosophy within the dressing room or on the training ground. And now you are seeing the positive results. And to be fair, Arsenal had a shocker or two, but they are still climbing, keeping themselves 5 points
clear. Yeah, I think we'll come to Arsenal in a moment. But another point here is Ten Hag at Manchester United, that we've been praising over the last 3 or 4 weeks.
Correct.
He's done a great job at Manchester United. He's turned it round. They get blasted 7-0 in the Premier League last week against Liverpool. But they drew 0-0 at home against bottom of the table Southampton this weekend.
But Terry, I think what is bothering Tim Hag is that Europa on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
Because he won against Real Betis on Thursday 3-1. And then on the weekend, where it matters the most for him, because he needs a Champions League spot.
Of course.
Unless he enjoys playing on a Thursday night.
Yeah.
they messed up 0-0, so they haven't scored in 2 Premier League games. And remember, we spoke about Rashford, we spoke about Bruno Fernandes, we have spoken about these players that have performed, even Sancho, but we haven't seen them showed up to the party in the last 2 weeks.
Well, listen, I'm sure all the listeners out there will agree with this. Nobody watches football on a Thursday night.
Correct.
What happens on Thursday night, though?
Well, if you're not in the Champions League, I don't think anybody's concerned at all about Europa League. So they just give it a blank.
Mm.
But I just find that mind-boggling that Southampton can get a... Old Trafford, again, is another stadium with passion and commitment and fans very loyal and strong right up for their team.
Mm.
To get a 0-0 result at Old Trafford, what a point that is on the road for Southampton.
Yeah.
But Terry, you have played in these games and you will know Southampton has always been a team that digs deep. They are one of the clubs that they have changed so much personnel over the years.
Yeah.
In terms of they have lost a lot of key players.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, every season it looks much better for them. Financially and on the park.
Listen, I think this season's going to be tough for them, but I couldn't agree with you more.
Mm.
Over the years, what they've done at Southampton, and I know their backroom staff and the people generally that are behind their signings, who they bring in, but they've been brilliant, Kerry, at bringing players from Scandinavia, the Dutch leagues, Scandinavian leagues, where they get them for small money, give them an 18-month development. And then players like Mané, that came from France at the time, like Van Dijk, that's now top defender in the world, they get sold for unbelievable sums of money.
Mm.
And Southampton have done a brilliant job restructuring their club, their top-class football club, stadium, training ground. They've got everything. But it's about time they started hanging on to some of their players so they could get off the bottom of the league and be more competitive within the Premier League.
Yeah, and good point, Terry, because that is something I skipped just now. Mane was there as well.
Yeah.
They got a lot of money for Mane. So is it a money-making
sold 7 players to Liverpool.
Correct.
7 players.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And these players have gone on to be superstars with Liverpool.
Right.
Started at Southampton.
And I am sure, Terry, there's a clause in that contract. Once they move on from Liverpool, they receive 25%
still receives. So well, yes. Well, that sounds to me, Adrian, like I'm only making do, you know? You understand? Yeah. Hey, guys, it's just about 27 minutes after 6. If you're now joining us, this is Offside on a Freedom 106.5 FM. It's Carrie V, Terry Fennick, and Adrian Romain. Now, I know we are going to go at a break at 6:30, the bottom of the hour. But before we jump into that, Adrian and Terry, would you let us know, let our listeners know what is in store for the next about hour?
Well, we want to touch on, we've got a guest coming on, Jedediah Marcel from Tobago.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to check in with the strengths, the organisation, what's going on the ground in Tobago, mm-hmm. Sister Isle. I think it's important for us because we get Dwight York, a world superstar in football, coming out of Tobago,
mm-hmm.
And multiple other. Adrian will tell you, I must have coached dozens and dozens and dozens of kids coming out of Tobago that come with a whole new mentality, different to Trinidad, to mm-hmm. Trinidad itself. So it'll be interesting to hear Jedediah's thoughts on that. And Adrian, you've seen them yourself. I mean, Sid Gray, for argument's sake, somebody very humble,
Randall,
disciplined.
Winchester, all these players.
Some great players that have come from there.
Right.
And they're actually doing well outside now.
Yeah, and Carrie, just to finish up before we head to the break, we also have to touch on the TT Premier. This was the start. It was, for us, it was successful. It was a successful week.
Positive start, yeah.
But on the youth side, it was terrible. Terrible showing by Gateway Athletics and Republic Cup. In putting on youth football, and that's something that we need to touch on because we cannot be coming here on a Monday and ignoring these things. And this is what other stations has been doing.
Yeah.
So it's really top one. So when we come back, I guess we'll deal with Jedediah.
We will deal with that. But I want to just touch on the Trinidad and Tobago Pro League. No, I just want to make sure I'm getting my names.
TT Premier League.
TT Premier League. What are your thoughts on it this year?
For me, it's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Financially, it isn't the right, as I mentioned last week. Nevertheless, we need to play football. It's part of what is expected from FIFA.
Right.
So we need to play football. The organization of the games on Friday, Saturday, and Sunday were top class. I went to all the games. It was live on Sportsmax.
Mm-hmm.
And to be honest, it showed hunger on the field with the kids who played and also off the field because it had a lot of persons. I was at Mahaika Oval. It was a packed stadium on Friday night. Mm-hmm. Saturday, Larry Gomes had a good crowd at 4 p.m. and then Arima Veldrum last night. So it's a good step. It's a good direction that we are heading.
Mm-hmm.
But the reality is that these kids need to be paid properly.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, of course, it's a positive. It's about the kids. It's not about the people above that. It's not coaches. It's not management. It's not the people behind the scenes. It's long overdue.
Mm.
Most of the other islands have already, long before now, been back to their program, their footballing program. I'm so pleased to see that we're playing football again at that level.
Yeah.
I'll be interested to see how it rolls out over the next months.
Right.
Adrian's touched on a very good point there. Where's the money coming from? Because I still believe corporate Trinidad are still waiting to see what actually happens first before they make any commitments. But again, it's about the kids. It's about giving them a format, something to go for. And I'm pleased that we've started up and I'm looking forward to watching one or two of them games.
Yeah. Guys, it's just about 6:30. When we're going to jump on a break, when we come back, it's much more. This is Offside on Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
It's just about 35 minutes after 6, and welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. You are now locked into Offside, where you hold the line. You understand what I'm saying? It's Carrie V, Terry Fennick, and Adrian Romain. Welcome back, guys.
Welcome back, Carrie. We are holding the line here.
Yeah, I realize we're holding. All his kicks, yes.
Wow. So, Carrie, so we've got top guy coming on
mm-hmm.
from Tobago. Adrian, Give me a little bit of background.
Yeah, I think Jedediah Marcel, he has done a lot in Tobago in terms of the development. He puts his energy where his mouth is.
Mm-hmm.
He has a club by the name of Ball Blasters. And to be honest, he's one of the new generation of coaches where he's seeing change in Tobago. Jedediah tries to carry about his team as a professional outfit and help these kids. He's also the head coach of Signal Hill.
No.
So they participate in the Tobago Football Association School League.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, he's one that we actually invited, Terry, for the Tobago trials. And because of the politics of Tobago,
yes,
he was denied that opportunity because we actually wanted to play a team against Tobago.
Yep.
No.
And he put together these teams. And to be honest, it's no more introduction. Let's welcome the man.
Yeah, let's get him on.
Hi, Jedi.
Hi. Evening to each and everyone.
Welcome to our show. Yes, we are hearing you clearly. We're hearing you loud and clear. How you been? How you doing?
Well, I'm fair to find, to be quite honest, after God, I'm thankful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God has been good to me and my family. So I'm grateful to be in this program. Fenwick, blessed night to you, my friend Romain, and to you, my friend.
Yeah, lovely to speak to you as well. Some great, fun memories of games and players and everything from Tobago, and
yes,
I'm looking forward to your voice here tonight.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure.
Top man. So I was just saying to Adrian Romain, I mean, my God, it's the two islands, Trinidad and Tobago, we actually get very diverse change of and almost cultural change between the two islands. And at the top of my, you know, when I look back over the years that I've coached here in Trinidad, I've had multiple players from Tobago, and I've always found, you know, they're so humble but disciplined, bigger, stronger, quicker. There's just a big change there in Tobago. It's like such a difference to Trinidad, don't you think?
Well, for sure.
I haven't put you on the spot there, have I? I haven't put you in the hot seat there, have I?
I wasn't sure that you had finished now, so I wanted to make sure that you had finished the question before I answered. To be quite fair, you could be right. Of course, we always in Tobago bigger, stronger, probably a little faster.
Yeah.
But I think over the years, what Trinidad, you know, really beat us in is our technique. You know, I think technically we struggle a little bit in Tobago. But that is something that have changed in recent years now with the influx of a lot of new academies. So there's a evolution taking place where
very
the game
good.
Is beginning to evolve to a more modern type of football in Tobago. So now, I mean, a couple of years from now, you should see, you know, a lot more Tobago youngsters actually making from the junior teams right up to the senior team. But of course, you know, Tobago really doesn't have a pro league. And we don't have a pro team in the pro league, you know, the highest level of football in the country. So because of that, the players in Tobago, we are at a disadvantage, you know. So,
well, I brought that up with Adrian earlier, and I'm really disappointed in this because the normalisation committee, 3 years in their job to, you know, normalise the football itself. My God, we cannot have a TT Premier League and we've got no team in it from Tobago. I find that a real kick in the teeth. It's not right.
Definitely.
It's the two islands of Trinidad and Tobago that we all recognise and love. And not just one team. There should be this. For me, is not just the TTF here, but indeed government getting involved so there's a tangible competition involving both islands. I was really disappointed again, Jedediah, that I'm not seeing any Tobagonian sides within that TT Premier League.
Yeah, for sure, Mr. Fenwick, for sure. It is a bit disappointing. Seeing after 2 years, you know, a pandemic, we couldn't have played football for 2 years. So we had enough time you know, to come together and plan. But I think still, I believe, honestly, I really believe that, I guess this season was probably one season too early for a Tobago Pro team. So I'm really hoping that by next year, after, you know, we see the outcome of the return of football in Trinidad and Tobago, those that are in charge of, you know, football on the island of Tobago can really come together and put their heads together and make sure that Tobago, you know, have a team in the highest level of football in the country. In that way, the young players, the best players on the island, can be seen on a national basis. So in that way, we have a better chance of making the national team.
Yeah.
You know, because the football in Trinidad is a higher level than what we have in Tobago, because, of course, there is something to work towards. You know, in Tobago, we doesn't really have that. We have an imaginary dream that we are hoping. We're not seeing it in front of our face. We are imagining this, you know.
But I think, Jedediah, I think what we've also got to recognise here is the best player that Trinidad and Tobago have ever produced, Dwight York, from Tobago. So it tells me that, you know, I've had a Jablet here and also at Central FC when we've had league champions across the board. We've always had a two or three players in the squad from Tobago, because they bring a different mentality. They bring that strength and speed. They're dedicated. Yeah. They've got a good discipline. And that's a big part of your winning team, your winning formula, is making sure everybody is on the same page. And I always felt with Tobagonians that you tell them once and it sticks. Sometimes I'd have to go back over it with Trinidadians. No. That's not what we said, not what we agreed. This is what we're doing. This is what we're trying to achieve. And the penny would drop at some stage. But Tobagonians would listen intently. Every training session, listen, good coaches give great examples. And once you've given that good example, it's up to the players then to implement these things. I always felt that Tobagonians, boom, the penny drops straight away. So I enjoyed that.
I think we are getting a call. Let's see who is there. Hi, good evening. You're live.
Good evening.
Hi, good evening. Welcome to our program.
Everybody.
Afternoon.
Everybody, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, buddy.
You know, Morocco, first time they entered the World Cup. Look, they're big world champion. They had this Dolly House team in the Caribbean, and they can't even draw a team with them team on them. Yeah? Check them out.
All right, we'll check them out.
Team we have.
All right, no problems. Thanks a lot.
We'll have a look. So coming back to the conversation now.
Yeah.
Tobago has got a very big part to play within football in Trinidad and Tobago. Our national sides have got to have that blend, because, you know, this is going back to 2000 when I first came to Trinidad and Tobago. I came here on the 4th of January 2000 and went to a number of football matches, whether it was school games, intercol games, pro league games at the time. And the crowd were always aroused by that player out there that could do a trick, stun the crowd, do a nutmegs, flick the ball over his head. And I used to look at that and think, hang on a second, but it's not achieving anything. And then I'd see other sides, and at the time, I think it was Tobago United were in the Pro League, and they were determined, and it was straightforward, and it was well-coached, and it was direct. And I think the philosophies have changed. And when we look back at the, you know, 2006 World Cup squad that got to World Cup under Leo Benacca, Dwight, top of his form at Manchester United, what a player. And a humble soul. And he was supported by the Sid Greers of this world that were tough, hard to beat, quick. And had that different mentality, Jedediah, that I really enjoyed. I thought that was great. It was very competitive. Are you still seeing that same type of player in Tobago?
Definitely. Definitely. Tobago, we always, you know, always had that, you know, strong backbone and working hard.
Yep.
I think something needs to change in the system when it comes to national team. And let me give you an example. Let me give you a recent example with the national U17, okay?
Yeah.
A couple of guys from my club were selected in this initial screening. So they were selected to train with the national team.
Yeah.
And they went down to Trinidad on a Saturday evening to train Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So you have one day in which to impress this coach. And let's say for some reason or the other, which we know, Coach Fenwick, that even the top players, sometimes they can get an off day, okay?
Yeah.
So if you go to this trial and you, for some reason or the other, whether it be sickness, how you slept, how you traveled, you just weren't able to perform. That is it for you. So you have one day while the teams in Trinidad will train throughout the week, maybe two or three times.
Yeah.
And the Tobago players have one day to prove themselves to this coach.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just this time only. That's how it's been all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, coming from Tobago, it's really difficult to come down and try to be your best self in one day. We are not given an opportunity to have a bad day. And then let's say next week I'll come back, man, or next 2 days I will come back. So it's kind of difficult for the Tobago players. So maybe going forward as a twin island, as we say, Trinidad and Tobago, we need to have some of these training sessions in Tobago so the Tobago players can get, you know, a better opportunity, you know, to understand philosophy and system and understand the coach and integrate better with the players. And I think
yep.
if that happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think, listen, there was a lot of controversy surrounding the home of football. But nevertheless, there are bedrooms there where, you know, a whole team, a squad of players from Tobago could come over here and spend a week or 2 weeks. So not just training with the guys on the ground here in Trinidad, but for the coaches to be a part of each other. So at national level, they can see what's available in Tobago, and the coaches coming from Tobago will recognise what the national team coach is requiring for his side. There must be a coming together. We can't have this dispatched Tobago over there. You get on with yourselves over there in Tobago while we're here in Trinidad. That makes no sense at all. This is one country.
But Terry, I think what has affected Tobago playing within the TT professional league ranks is the air bridge. That's number one. Seeing Tobagonian teams coming into Trinidad arriving 11 a.m., heading to a stadium, arriving in the stadium 2 hours before the game, that's not easy for any footballer.
But that should be 2 ways, though. That should be Trinidad teams yeah. going to Tobago as well.
Correct, and that's why I say the air bridge is a massive problem.
Government have got to step yeah. in here. When
so
you look at the flights and the you know the see, we can get you know players over there relatively cheaply on the ferry. Yeah, why not?
But I think on that side too, Terry, is that they have no plans of adding Tobagonian teams in the professional realm of things, because you would have started off with a Tobagonian team now. And that's how I see it. I think that we had enough time to plan. And
3 years.
And to be fair, Tobago has a lot of good players, and that's why I brought Jeddah in, because I think that we need to know what is the upcoming talent.
Yeah.
That's number one. Jedediah, we need to know who to look out for, who will be the next Dwight York, who will be the next Rondell Winchester in Tobago, and then are they being equipped in the right way?
Well, Jedediah, I think he's already answered that, Adrian.
Right.
He's already said that they're being bypassed.
Okay.
They should be involved with the TT Premier League right now, because, yes, Jedediah, you might be looking at, well, give us one season here to prepare ourselves. We've just sat on our backsides for 3 years through COVID. We should be planning ahead. We should have everything ready to rock and roll. We're one country, not two different islands. One country.
Well, while I may agree with you and Romain, I would not go as far to say we have been bypassed, because I am not part of the Tobago Football Association. Neither I am a part of the Trinidad and Tobago Football Associations. But, you know, I've heard plans, you know, of getting a Tobago team, you know, in the top tier of Trinidad and Tobago football. When that's going to come on stream, I'm not quite sure. Should they have done better? I will say yes. I think, given the fact that, as you rightfully say, about 3 years or so we have been dormant, so we had enough time to make sure that we have a team from the sister isle representing the highest level of football in the country. So in that way, you can see the best of Tobago. And even if there are players within Trinidad who may not make a pro team in Trinidad, but they can make a Tobago team,
yeah.
which happened with Tobago United. I played for Tobago United with Coach Peter Granville.
Yes.
And we have some players from Trinidad that make up that team as well. So it can be an avenue for the average player in Trinidad that can't make a double connection or a Central FC, but they can make a Tobago team. So it's also another avenue for the fringe players
yeah.
to play their game, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, where I'm coming from here is, yes, we've gone through COVID. We've gone through 3 years of no football. Literally every other island has started their domestic leagues before Trinidad and Tobago. But I just think the management at the top of Trinidad football, and this is the TTFA, Normalisation Committee, and also Tobago Football Association, they must come together to plan better than what they've done now. 3 years is a lifetime for these kids on the ground that we should be supporting and doing our utmost to bring to the forefront. Kids in Tobago today might be feeling, who knows, they might be going home crying into their pillow because they're not getting the opportunity that some kids are getting in Trinidad to be. I can't agree with that.
Correct. And Jerry, I like the direction you're heading in terms of the fringe players and stuff. But what happened to the young kids in terms of their exposure? This weekend I heard that there were no games in the Republic Cup. What went on with the Grongs? Was it another hit on Tobago talent? What happened to these games this weekend?
Well, Jared, I think that's a fair question. And also, listen,
the minister
of sport is from Tobago.
I think they
what's
just,
going on?
To be quite honest, I think there was just some kind of some miscommunication why football in Tobago did not start this past weekend gone, you know. I think there was some missing communication somewhere along the line, communication breakdown. So the fields weren't ready for the kickoff of Republic Cup in Tobago past weekend. There were some issues with the communication between, I'm not sure if it was Gateway or TTFA or TFA and the Division of Sports to have the fields marked so games could have played over the weekend. But I'm pretty sure that this coming week, they're going to rectify the issues and we're going to be on the ball.
Let's
you know?
Hope so. I mean, Adrian, again, I keep on repeating this. It's not about us, the coaches. It's not about the administrators. It's about the kids out there providing them with an opportunity.
Yeah, and Terry, what bugs me is that we are talking about fixtures that were supposed to happen last week.
Yeah.
Was rescheduled to this week. And now we are waiting on another week. And that's the problem. These kids is being deprived of game time.
Yeah.
And Jerry, you mentioned it earlier. The national coach only has one game to really and truly, one training session to see this Tobagonian kid.
Yeah.
This Tobagonian kid needs to be playing as much football as possible. And I'm seeing you doing it with Ball Blasters. You were part of the NLCLC league. You are now part of the Republic Cup powered by Gateway. But the reality is they need to get their house in order to make these kids play on a weekly basis.
Yes.
So what's the other plans for Ball Blasters? Will you all be attending Barbados Cup? What's any overseas tournaments?
Of course, we are heading to Barbados for the Cup. It will be our first time. So we are working towards that also.
Very good.
There's other tournaments taking place in Tobago over the Easter weekend. So not even Easter weekend, just before, as soon as school close, there's a tournament in Tobago on the first and the second coaching school. But we are preparing for Barbados along also for the Republic Cup, of course. And so it's a lot for us. We haven't rested since secondary school football. We have been playing a lot of football. And of course, yes, the kids were disappointed. I mean, we were all geared up and excited for Republic Cup this weekend. But I guess things happen for a reason, you know. But Ball Blasters, Youth Academy, we find ways to make it happen. So yesterday, we had what you call an interclub. So we had like about 50 to 60 something players. We had a 9v9 and we bought a couple of drinks and stuff for the kids and gave them first prize. So we find ways to play. We find ways to play. We always try to create the environment so the kids can be competitive within their own zone. So we had a mixture of the U15 and U17 with a couple of the girls, and we put them on balanced team. And it was really, really good. In fact, the kids had a blast yesterday, and they asked for something to be done every weekend now, yeah, where we have this kind of inter-club tournament. So we try our best, Romain, you know, regardless of the deficiencies and lacking communication from the others. Ball Blasters Academy will continue to do whatever it takes to make sure that the kids are ready for every opportunity that may come their way.
I love that, Jedediah. What I've seen in all the years that I've been here in Trinidad and Tobago, every community has that guy, has that girl that wants to do the best for their kids and their community. And they put these football teams together, they put these little training programs together, and they're working hard. Here in Trinidad at the moment, my own football factory are involved in three different league tournaments, which of course is great for the kids. They love it. They come together. And this is not just the kids, it's the parents as well. Everybody puts something in to help the progress and development of these youngsters. And I'm sure that's the same in Tobago. Everybody's got kids at heart. I love what you're doing. I think it's brilliant that you're stepping up, getting things going. My God, when I think back over the years, when Jablater, when I first come, Ralston James was a big player.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going back a few years, and unfortunately he died, unfortunately. But great players. Winchester was always a good player.
Yeah.
So many.
Darren Mitchell, Chucky.
Oh my God, Chucky.
Daryl Trim works with Jedediah, correct?
Yeah, Trim, yeah.
Yeah, so he has some
well, give him my best wishes, because great player and a good lad. That's what I like.
For sure. I just had a conversation with him earlier on today. Daryl is my really good friend, so yeah, it's a
very
pleasure.
Good.
You know, for sure.
Well, Jedediah, thanks for joining us on Offside on this lovely Monday afternoon. It was a pleasure to have you, and we must say that we will like you. Are welcome another time to talk more about Tobago football and your plans for Ball Blasters.
Absolutely.
Well, it's my pleasure, and really thank you guys for having me here this evening. Really appreciate the opportunity to speak about what's happening in Tobago, and I am really sure, I could assure you, that in the future Tobago will have a seat because of the plans that are in place. Currently, there's this dude from America who's trying his best to create a platform to have like an elite program where the best players in Tobago train on a high level and have them play games, not just in Trinidad and Tobago, but across the world, wherever it can take us. So Shaquille McClatchy and the Tobago Youth Development League, we really appreciate the effort and the opportunity for the coaches, not even just the players, the coaches, you know, because I think that the education...
That's important.
..to the coaches will help develop better players, you know?
Of course. It's all about the coaches. If the coaches are right, I mean, we're talking about Premier League earlier on. And when you look at the top two teams, Pep Guardiola, renowned coach, but a coach that's always brought in youthful players, and you've got a spin-off, Arteta goes to Arsenal, and he's got a very young Arsenal side, and they're
definitely
5 points clear at the top of the Premier League. That tells me the input the coaches have got, particularly with young players, and I'm sure, Jedediah, you're doing a great job over there. We need to keep in touch. It's important for Trinidad and Tobago that we get the best out of you guys in Tobago.
Yeah, Jedediah, thanks again.
Thank you so much for joining us. Have a good one.
You too, my dear. Love and blessings.
Yes. So there you have it. That was Jedi, right? Oh, what an awesome interview. And I'm glad that he came here because, I mean, a lot of us don't know what is happening with Tobago's football. And I really do hope that they could actually, persons can hear them, the right persons,
yep,
and reach out to them and help them. Guys, it's just about 1 minute after 7. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's much more. Keep it locked.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Well, welcome back. It's Freedom 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. If you're now joining us, you are on Offside, which we do every Monday from 6 to 7.30 p.m. I am here with Terry Fennick and Adrian Romain. Welcome back, guys.
Yeah, welcome back, Carrie. Welcome back.
I was
looking forward to what happened in these youth divisions.
Yeah, Terry, and I must say, Carrie, it was a disaster this weekend.
Oh, yeah, as you said.
Yes, after being, it was a delay, a week late. It's TTFA blaming Gateway, Gateway blaming TTFA. And it seemed to me that no one is really and truly equipped to run this youth league. This is the league what's supposed to replace our youth pro league, because around this time you will normally have youth pro league because there's a TT Premier mm-hmm. League.
Right.
So you would have had the younger age groups in the TT Premier League playing in this. But to me, on Saturday and Sunday, it was disastrous. People actually started to send me videos,
right,
as I showed you just now.
But
you,
Adrian, let me ask you, right, because you came from this field in Trinidad and Tobago, football field, and I'm not talking like literal field, guys. I'm talking about in that environment. To have a league like that, is it difficult? Because, I mean, from the pictures that I've seen, the videos I've seen, from what you have been speaking about, I think that was disgraceful to have something in that manner. So is it that a lot of time and energy have to be put into that to make that event a successful and injury-free, as I should say?
Well, to me, and I like how you talk about injury-free. Let's put a pin there. To honestly, you need to have the right leaders involved.
Mm-hmm.
And this cannot be about filling your pockets. And on this weekend,
yep,
it looked like if it was all about you carrying home a paycheck. It
wow.
had no toilets, no tables, no chairs. It had no technical areas.
Wow.
The marking was poor. It had a cricket match at Eddie Hart while these kids, we are talking about a cork ball that is
what?
Playing while these kids is playing football in an under 20 game. They had actually had two games. And I am telling you this, they had no ambulance. They had no medical staff. And to me, as I told someone from the TTF earlier on today, it was an embarrassment. Why it was an embarrassment? Because this is our youth league.
But they
this is Anton Corneal spoke about this big launch a week or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And he said that they are going to live stream games. They are going to do this. Listen, Carrie, it did not even have a chair for the coach to have
no,
a
man,
drink
don't
of
do
water.
That. Who is responsible for that?
Well, this is powered by Gateway Athletics and also in collaboration with the TTFA. And to me, when I spoke to TTFA, they are blaming Gateway. But I know, honestly, that who is responsible to collect the check needs to make sure that the teams that are paying $500 to register their team in this league needs to be comfortable.
Well, at least no ambulance. So what if something happened to a player there and they need a medical...
Kerry, this seems to me, I mean, just thinking out loud here, they put all their dollars into the TT Pro League because they recognise after the failures that they've had over the last years that it's got to get off to a good start, to build a bit of confidence with corporate Trinidad. But the fact that they've almost ignored the youth divisions... You know, we've gone for quite a while, Adrian, where some of these TT Pro League, TT Premier League teams have not had any
well,
youth
Terry,
divisions.
Let me tell you, let me just clarify something here. That Republic Cup is sponsored by Republic Cup.
Yeah.
So that money is separate from what is happening upstairs at TT Premier League.
Yeah.
So we are talking about there is money available to organize a tent, a table, a chair, an ambulance. And I am talking this because I was the operations manager last year of this cup,
Wow.
So I can tell you all from my experience,
you know,
when I sit here,
scoop.
I was inside. So I was aware of the finances. I was aware of what could have basically be, what was required.
Yeah.
And I am, yesterday I was there and my team was there and I'm saying, wow, this is not the Republic Cup that I know.
Mm-hmm.
It was ridiculous. And I don't think the bank will like their name associated with it, with this.
Yeah.
Because it was disastrous.
Well, this that's it. I mean, but that's where we are. When you're damaging towards your sponsors, at the end of the day, Kerry, what you've got is, over the years that I've been here, I've recognised clubs with their hand out. They want financing from sponsors.
Correct.
But they give nothing back. There's not even pictures and stories and these are the positives, this is what's good for your company, this is how we're getting your name out on a positive side.
Mm-hmm.
They take the money and deliver nothing back to these sponsors. So when I look at this, and it's a balancing act, yes, we definitely need football off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we need our flagship, the TT Premier League, to look good. But we can't be making that look good at the cost of everything else here, Adrian, where everybody else gets a kick in the teeth.
Correct, Terry. And the reality is there is an opportunity now, Kerry,
mm-hmm.
where someone, listen, 2 years of no football, 2.5 years of no football. Last year, the Republic Cup was run 7v7. You were part of it, Terry.
Yes.
7v7. Nelson Mandela, Larry Gomes, this, that, the other.
Mm-hmm.
This year, you have the opportunity now to showcase, okay, we have kids that is interested in playing 11v11 football. You have 70, you boasted 2 weeks ago, 70 something registrations, this, that, the other.
Wow.
I am telling you all, my team is receiving emails 12 a.m. on a Thursday for a game on Saturday. That is disastrous.
Wow, that's poor.
That could never
that's
be right.
Poor.
And the reality is that they are not seeing this
but
as
Adrian,
being a problem, Terry.
There's round about 25 people behind the scenes working for the TTFA.
Correct.
What are they doing?
Correct.
If the information's not being spread, not being shown out there, and clubs, teams are not aware of what's going on, that's a disgrace.
But somebody have to be held responsible for this.
Well, but the scary part for me is coaches actually was asking me, what's the link for the game? Because they said they were live streaming games.
Yeah.
They spoke about, because this is what the company is about. The company is about scholarships and opportunities.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There were no live stream. I don't think they had a space for a cameraman in Etihad.
Wow.
It was disastrous. So the reality is, and I know they are listening, is that we need to put youth first, Terry.
Yeah.
We need to put youth first. And it's important. A lot of people speak about youth development.
Yes.
A lot of people speak about we are so much into youth. But I think it's a political flyer they use.
Yeah.
Because no one really cares about the youth. How can you care about the youth and there's no ambulance, Kerry?
Yeah.
There's no toilet facilities. Yeah. There's no tent. We need to be real with
and
ourselves.
And they're sitting on a rusty bench.
Correct.
With no seat.
And over the years that I've been here, you know, I've been through a number of trials for kids here in Trinidad. And the majority, Adrian, I'd have to say, kids that get selected at the end of a day's play are friends of friends of friends.
Thank you.
And the coaches are linking families and friends to get their kids to the highest possible position. It's not right. And there's no management at the top that's correcting this. And whether it's Anton Cornell or whoever at the TTFA that need to step up to make sure, listen, we're doing coaching badges now in Trinidad and Tobago. Let's get it right.
Correct.
Let's not be giving flyers away and trophies away for people who don't deserve. Let's give it to the kids properly and honestly. And this really disappoints me to hear the level that they've stooped to this.
Yeah, and to be honest, you talk about picking friends and who's
seen
this,
it.
Yeah, that has happened. Look,
good players being overlooked because of somebody's
correct.
Friend.
So they promoted an All-Star event that is going to happen after this season, but there were no commissioners to select players. There weren't, you know, the form that will normally give best player of the game. There weren't that. It had nothing of that.
Yeah.
So how are you going to selecting players? And think about this. The organizers of this tournament, who Republic Bank has put their faith in and their money in, they have a team in the league. In the league.
Yeah.
So their focus is actually on their team and not what is running around the other teams. And listen, I got those pictures from South and Central.
Wow.
I don't want to be there. That will be disastrous for them because everyone has paid their money to get a product.
Yeah.
And this is the opportunity. These academies are trying, Terry, like Football Factory and EIE. We are trying.
And it's parents.
But the reality is we need to be honest.
Yeah.
And if there's no honesty, then obviously on a Monday, on Offside, we will bring it up. Because the reality is that's what we are about here, Terry.
Yeah. Quite rightly so.
Guys, it's just about a 7:15, and that's our time check. You can call us 627-3223, 625-2257. You can even send us a WhatsApp message on 306-1065. If you're now joining us, this is Offside, which we do every Monday. It's Carrie V, Terry Fenwick, and Adrian Romaine. I know a lot of you have went out there over the weekend to take in one of these games, and I know you all are disappointed. Call us and let us know. Call us and let us know what was happening at the Eddie Hart Stadium on those days, because from the pictures that I've seen, Adrian and Terry, that ain't cool.
No, it isn't cool.
No. That's not cool. Call me right now, 627-3223, 625-2257. Tell me what you saw when you went down there. Send me a WhatsApp message, 306-1065.
Yeah, but Carrie, I don't think we are brave enough as a country to address these issues.
But we got to get brave.
We
as nothing wouldn't happen.
Turn the other cheek. That's what this is about here.
Correct.
Instead of confronting it, standing up and making sure it doesn't happen twice, don't turn the other way. Don't turn the other cheek. Get in people's face, ask them questions, and go public.
Because when I saw those pictures that you showed me, Adrian, I can't believe that.
Yeah, and it will happen next week. And teams will still take the field. And the reality is we talk about the kids, but no one knows what is the biggest problem. You know what it is to have a kid that needs to get surgery because of this.
Oh, God, no.
There's no medic there.
Don't go there.
It's sad.
But is it reality?
Yeah.
Because if we are playing a sport, especially a contact sport, you could tell me there's no ambulance there, no medical assistance there.
That's wrong.
That is madness.
That is madness.
That is madness. If God forbid, if a kid, you know, running and dribbling the ball and twist something or pull something, what would happen is somebody would have to throw them in their car and go and carry them to the hospital.
And that's
ridiculous.
Not right. That's not right at all.
It's ridiculous.
But listen, Kerry, what I'd like to move on to now is our rising star.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
let's jump into something positive.
Listen,
to deal with that.
Women had their day of the year earlier this week, didn't they? So we've got at Football Factory Nathania Spencer, age 14. She's warmly recognised as Tanya. And this is a girl that trains with our under 14 boys and very humble, listens intently, passes the ball great. She's got a good size about her. She's very athletic.
Right.
And she's one of these kids, Adrian, that's looking down the road. She's looking at the national team. She wants to be a football player for Trinidad and Tobago women's side. And listen, world football, look where we are. We're in CONCACAF. America are world champions. They're taking kids from the islands to coach them up in their colleges up there so they can be a part of that same development. I'm hoping this young girl who's done a great job at Football Factory, she learns everything sticks with her first time. You don't have to tell her twice. And she's a lot of what we do, Adrian, is about your ball and eye coordination. And she's been with us for a number of years now. So her movement is fantastic. She appreciates the game. She sees it. She reads it in advance. And she trains every day against the boys. And in times I'm watching her embarrass the boys at the game, I'm so pleased for her.
Embarrass the boys.
Yeah, she does, because she's that good.
Wow.
But she'll pick them up, she'll out tackle them, out head them, scores goals, creates goals. She's a wonderful talent, and I'm pleased to speak up for her tonight. She's a great asset.
And Terry, I must commend what we have created here in terms of our Rise and Start segment.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, if you realize, for the last 3 weeks, we have gone all local.
Yeah.
Kids that is under 15 years of age. So that means we are doing the groundwork for what the head's supposed to be doing. And the reality is, once we recommend these kids and we speak about them and give them that air,
Yeah.
I think that we expect that they drive themselves in that manner into becoming something greater later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, she has done tremendous. Coming off of Women's Day last week, now we mention on our show,
mm-hmm.
it's exciting times for Trinidad and Tobago football.
Mm-hmm. Of course it is, and I hope she's listening tonight, Tanya, because I know all of them young boys that you're playing against will appreciate the words that we're sharing tonight. Because they have, you're in every session, you're never late, turn up early, you're always helping, bringing in equipment and whatever else.
Mm.
Very humble young lady.
She's leading by example,
she
yes.
is.
I'm very proud.
And you know what, you've hit the nail on the head there. Kerry, there's very few leaders out there.
Mm-hmm.
There's nobody coming to the front guiding leadership qualities. And I'm hoping that this girl will be that down the line.
Mm.
Yeah, and I look forward to her even partaking in the... She should be one that head into Couva on a Sunday to go to the trials with the National
with the
under 15.
Right.
Because it's an open place, so something that you all could look
and
into.
I was now coming to that. Our national team, well, especially like the under 15 and the different leagues.
Yes.
What is it? Is it? I don't want to say the word easy, but for someone, for a female, to see if she can get onto the national team, is it difficult? Is it how? What is the process like?
Well, Terry mentioned it earlier. Is a secret. It's a secret. So if I didn't know someone that is part of that team, I would not have known that they are training on a Sunday.
Yes.
But now I said it openly.
Yeah.
So you all, the national girls under 15, is training on a Sunday. That's why you are listening to us. We want to give you that information.
Mm. Yeah.
I don't see the need for secrets.
Why? Well, I know coming as a why is a secret?
I don't see the need for secrets because a lot of these kids just needs the chance.
Yeah.
And Natanya.
Mm-hmm.
Tanya can be one that just needs to be seen on a national level.
Yes.
Well, she has done tremendous work at Football Factory. Now she needs to be seen on a national level.
Mm.
And I bet you she'll be in the under 17 rank. She'll be in the under 20. Then you see on the senior team. And then we'll be speaking here and saying, let's give Tanya a score for Trinidad against Ecuador.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it starts.
Yes.
I have met players being part of the national program, and especially on the 20s and the women's game as well.
Mm.
I have dealt with them, and they never played under 15, they never played under 17, but because I knew them and I knew where they came from, and some may be from John and they don't have the finances to go to train, I gave them the opportunity, and today they are doing tremendous.
Wow.
So they have gone on to get scholarships, they are doing tremendous.
Well done, Adrian Romain.
So I think we need to keep giving these young ladies
an opportunity. So let me add to that, Adrian. So is it that if someone sees themselves as a professional player, whether you're a girl or whether you're a boy, you could just show up at any of these trainings and see if you can, I don't know, train with them? How does that go?
Well, we don't hear anything in the media.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And then all of a sudden we might see something printed in one of the newspapers when it's too late. What I would say is, to parents out there, look after your kids, and if they're good enough, boys or girls, step up and push your kids. Go to the training sessions, have a look at what's going on, and speak to the coaches to get your kid a chance.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Terry, Jedediah mentioned it earlier.
Yeah.
The short space of time that is available for a Tobagonian player to even be part of a national screening.
That's crazy, isn't it?
So, you see the sacrifices he has made, and something that he didn't mention, but I should mention, is that he actually brought down 7 guys to Trinidad and Tobago to trial in all the zones.
Wow.
The reason being is that he would have only gotten 1 chance in Tobago.
Wow.
And they made 5 of his players made it in Trinidad.
Wow.
But the reality is, for them to continue going to national training, right? The air bridge is very expensive. There is no waiver for them, so it was tough for them to continue.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, they will be dropped out of the system.
Hmm.
So we need to understand that we have these kids, we are highlighting them, but we are, as Terry said, we need the parents to be involved and do not give up.
You see, Adrian, this goes back, and I obviously keep very tight on football in the region, CONCACAF, and the United States of America and Canada. They didn't put their money in at the top. they looked at 7 years development program for kids 12, 13 upwards. So recognise coming out of 2022 World Cup, USA and Canada, very young squads. The captain of the USA, 23. We've got the World Cup coming 2026 to our region, CONCACAF. Mm. And they've put time, effort, development, top coaches into these youngsters so everybody's on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Trinidad and Tobago have got to do. We've shortcutted to go at the top to start the TT Premier League to try and get some, I don't know, get something from corporate Trinidad, some buy-in. But we're missing out on the real game, the real plan. And this is why we're falling behind so many of the other islands in the Caribbean region and indeed Central America's, because we're not taking seriously development. Development starts from young, and it's a game plan with the same coaches over time.
Right.
And we've only got a look around the world. The top teams, top national sides, generally they're coached over a period of time by the same guy that they've got confidence in that builds on bricks to make them better, better, better.
And Terry, correct, and I need to give you praise for that, giving young kids an opportunity. And that's the reality. You have been brave with that. You, and I said it on
well, Terry does look fearless anyway,
yeah,
you know.
Fearless.
Yeah, sorry, you watching Terry. Then.
So, in that focus realm of things right now, our football needs more of you, who is brave enough to give these kids an opportunity, exposure. If you realize over the past few years, we haven't seen kids moving on. We haven't seen kids getting top-class contracts.
No.
They are going into USL League 1 and 2. That is 6 months contracts, 8 months contracts. That's not sufficient to feed a family.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we need to get proper coaching on the training ground in the TT Premier.
Yeah.
Prepare these kids for proper opportunities overseas. And once that's done, Terry, our national program will be buzzing. But we cannot select who is already going to qualify for 2026 because it's in CONCACAF, and we think that okay, we are better than this one or that one. Remember, Barbados is doing their homework, Curaçao is doing their homework, Suriname is doing their homework, there's still Guyana doing their homework. So let's be realistic.
Well, I watched intently the USA development program taking place, and you had so many tournaments around the US here, and this was them gleaning all the best talent from all the different states, and they put time, energy and dollars into development of the game, and now they are, I'm telling you right here and right now, they're going to be a huge power in football over the next decade.
Wow.
They're doing great things, and the women are already world champions, Kerry. Mm. So with that, you've got a great following on the women's side of football, soccer as they call it, and you've got some of their players, most of their players for their national team are playing for some of the biggest brands in world football in Europe, the Barcelonas, the Bayern Munichs, the Chelseas, the Manchester Cities. These kids are now playing at that level now because of the development programs they've had for 5 and 7 years in the US have brought them through under good coaching.
Right.
So you're not going back a step, you're going forward, 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 because the coach has got a plan of action as to how you develop your skill sets for your position within the team mechanism. We have not got that here. We haven't got coaches delivering that here. And we haven't got it because there's no money being shared at that level, Adrian. And unfortunately, these kids that are playing in the TT Premier League now, what are they earning? What sort of money are they taking on? How long are their contracts?
But Terry, that's why next week's show, Kerry, it's so interesting.
Yeah.
Because we have Sean Aberdeen that is coming in, Terry.
Yeah.
And he is actually a player representative.
Yes.
We do not have our players that is being represented. So whatever is given to them, the contract could have flaws, they are going to sign it.
Yes.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we need people like Sean Aberdeen who's coming to tell us more about What is his portfolio, yeah, his company? Because we need him to really and truly guide us in that direction, and we will even send the link to Pro League, yeah, Premier players.
Yeah. Kerry, people don't understand how important this is for the upkeep of the game, for the future of these young kids with loads of talent. You know, 23 years again in Trinidad, and most of the top young players that I've sat down, and I normally take them to the Hyatt Hotel, have a chat with them and their families, and more often than not, their representative is a family member with no experience, no knowledge, don't know what's going on in the game, don't know how to organise a contract, don't know these things. And I understand them looking after family members and all of that, but we've got to be better than that. These kids deserve better than that. And to get outside on lucrative contracts with top teams, we must be networking with not just agents here in Trinidad and Tobago, but also within the CONCACAF region, United States and beyond.
Correct. And to me, I look forward to that show with next week. And we have a lot to touch on next week as well.
A lot. And I want to see what is going to be happening in the upcoming games.
Yeah.
Local games.
Yeah,
I want to see.
That national.
Because you know, we have people listening to this, huh?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I'm very sure that things are going to change for next games.
Yeah, and it's important. Gateway and they need to get themselves
come
in
the man, get all the act together now. Let me do better.
That's across the board. Listen, they've had their launch and thank God the TT Premier League went well. But it's not about one day, one weekend, Kerry. It's about being consistent over time, and the kids deserve it.
Yeah. Guys, it's just about 7:32, and this is where we wrap up this episode of Offside. You can catch us next week, Monday, same time, same place, 106.5 FM, where you speak your mind. On behalf of my hosts, my two awesome football hosts, Terry Fenwick.
Hold the line.
And Adrian Romain, I want to thank Don't be caught offside. Have a good one. Have a safe week. We'll see you guys on the flip side. Bye.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.